Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. This is Chris Brown. So excited that you're joining us here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I don't know if you put two and two together or not, but 2016 is Friday. That's right. Let me ask you, do you have your money plan for 2016 ready? Of course, you should have had this ready if it was any other month, regardless. But there's something about the start of a new year, isn't it? If not, I'll have more details on how you can get your plan together and help others do the same at the same time. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. Of course, you feel free to give us a call at 866-357-3283. We're talking about your life and your money. Again, at 866-357-3283. Always email us at Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. Now, folks, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but over the Christmas break, I got a little puppy. That's right. I got a puppy for my kids. It has been a lot of fun. And those of you that have been kind of following along the journey on Instagram and on Twitter, we've been having a little bit of fun with that puppy. A little golden doodle. And very, very cute. And I wanted to share that with you. Today, we are going to be talking about things like investing, things like debt, things like student loans and giving, retirement, and everything in between. Again, 866-357-3283. Well, folks, I am in the studio right now with Reverend Jim Wilson from Church of the Messiah United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio. I just ran into him over in the other studio, over in the Dave Ramsey studio, and he was doing a debt-free scream, and he wasn't doing it for himself personally, but for the church. He was their church has paid off $1.6 million, and I wanted him to come into our studio and chat a little bit about how this all went down. So, Reverend Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Great to be here.
So, here's the deal. You started pastoring at this church in
2010, July 1.
Okay. All right. And so, and you, what you saw and what you had kind of found out. Tell us a little bit about what you found and this whole journey over the last 5 years.
Yeah, I didn't find out about it during the interviews, only when I got to the church. They all joke around about that. They all forgot, but whatever. But there was a $1.6 million worth of debt on properties that the church had acquired. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the general fund that pays the operating bills of the church, and the balance in the checkbook was minus $55,000. And then, you know, we're the keepers of all these designated funds, youth fund, flower fund, women's fund, everybody else's fund. And we were about $100,000 short on getting all the funds fully funded. So it wasn't a good situation.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all. And so where did this passion for you to remove this debt as fast as possible come from?
Well, you know, 2 years before I came to Church of the Messiah, I took financial peace, mm-hmm, through Dave Ramsey, and that's when it really clicked within me that, you know, we need to change the conversation. We need to change the approach. The debt will kill the church. And, you know, it starts with leadership, and, you know, we kept offering financial peace. We got more and more people seeing the value of being debt-free, and there wasn't any gimmick. There wasn't any professional consultants. We just decided as a church to quit spending more than what we were receiving. Yeah. We're going to make paying the debt off a top priority, and we just did it.
That is so cool. So you had these staff meetings or executive leadership meetings beforehand. It was like, how in the world can we get this debt out of here? And now, tell us a little bit about what these executive meetings look like.
Well, it's totally different now. You know, some people are still a little cautious, and they're thinking, oh, we're going to jump right back into debt. But I'm saying, no, we're not. You know, we don't want to go back to that.
Yeah.
We have survived it. We're completely debt-free. Instead of a checkbook that has minus $55,000, we anticipate at the end of this month that we'll have $250,000 to the good in the checkbook, and every single one of our funds are funded. It takes the drama out of the meetings. There's nothing to argue about anymore, and we can talk about being the body of Christ.
That is so cool. Hopefully, folks, you listening in, you can hear the parallel between what he's experiencing in the church world and what happens in our marriages and our relationships, and those of you that are single, even just the drama that you have in your life if you can't pay your bills. Now, one of the things you told me, because I was, of course, over there on the show with Dave, and we had this conversation, you had told us that you never stopped giving through the process. You obviously did this, but a lot of folks would automatically assume, I'm going to stop my giving while I get out of debt, but you chose to keep giving.
Exactly. We knew as leaders in the church, we were going to be debt-free, but we wanted to be sure that we did it in the right way. And as a United Methodist church, we have a thing called apportionments. That's the money you give to the district and conference. And we could have quit paying that. We could have backed off on our mission program, but we were not going to become debt-free on the backs of the poor. Mm-hmm. So we remained 100% fully committed to our denomination. We expanded our mission program. So when we got to the finish line and we were able to shout out that we were debt-free, we knew that we did it the right way. And boy, I just made it all the better.
Well, we're so excited for Reverend Jim Wilson in Columbus. And of course, we are on AM 880 WRFD up there in Columbus. So we love Columbus. And you've been very inspiring for our listeners today. And folks, this is $1.6 million. And this might seem like it's a little far out of the reach. It's like you can't really relate to it as an individual. But folks, this is over 1 year of their budget. So just think about it. Your life, you know, 1 year, just think if you had 1 year's worth of debt, how hard that would be to pay that off. And they did that. And so very, very inspiring. And we're so thankful that you came on the show to inspire us, because the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you have pumped hope into us. So thank you so much.
Well, great. It's been an honor. And we just give thanks to God for doing a great thing in our midst. So we're ready now to be the church like we've never been to church before.
Now that is so, so inspiring, and I hope that encourages you folks as we on the show. Of course, we're talking about true stewardship. We're talking about managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory, and that is what it looks like when you manage your leadership God's way for God's glory. Next on the line, we have Ben. He's calling in from Inglewood, Ohio. Ben, how are you?
Good, Chris. How are you doing?
Oh, very good. Where's Inglewood?
It is, it's about north of Dayton, about 10 minutes.
Okay, very cool, very cool. And this is a little random fact for our listeners, that I've actually personally lived in two Inglewoods in this country. And really? I was not aware there was an Inglewood, Ohio, so I might have to move there for a couple weeks and move back.
Yeah, just to go three for three.
Yes, very good. How can I help you?
Yeah, just to kind of give you my situation, I am 24 in student loan debt, and I'm working in my degree field as an athletic trainer, making around $44,000 a year. My wife, she makes $35,000 a year working with her degree. Now, I'd like to go back to school to become a physician's assistant, which would be, I'd make probably twice what I make now, and it'd be just be a better schedule for having children down the road, which is what we'd like to do. And just kind of a better job, just to spend time with my family. But that's going to be tough with the student loans that I have. And so my question is, do I need to pay off my existing student loan debt before I add more debt onto my plate? And second question, am I off my rocker for even thinking about going back to school, even though I still have a lot of student loan debt?
Based on your tone, I think you know the answer.
Yeah.
It just, when you said it all in a sentence out loud, I think you understood what it sounded like. Here's what I would do if I was in your scenario. Okay. Here's what I would do. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Right now, you have a season where you're both working and you don't have children. What that means is you live on less and you work like crazy, and you get this thing paid off in the next, you'll be 20, you said you're 24?
Yeah.
You'll be 26 and 27, maybe 26, 27, maybe 28, and you'll be 100% debt-free and have tons of options for the rest of your life. So here's what I would do. I would live on 30, live on 30 and be 27 and debt-free. That's what I would do. And I would not at all take out any more debt, period, ever, for the rest of your life. And I would just go ahead and throw that whole philosophy out the door. The Bible's very clear about that. Proverbs 22:7, right. The borrower is a slave to the lender. You don't want to be enslaved. You're too bright. Your wife's too bright. You got too much in front of you. There's too much opportunity cost involved. Can you afford a payment? That's the wrong question. The question is, this money, if interest paid is a penalty, interest earned is a reward. We want to make sure that we're receiving interest. We're not paying interest. So that's what I would do. I would definitely not take out any more debt. Well, folks, you can email in or you can call in. This email comes in from Jason. He says, Chris, I love your show and have been listening for a few weeks. We're transitioning from allowance to commissions with our kids. Our oldest son also works part-time at our family business. Would you suggest that we keep him on our home commission schedule as well? Yes. You want to do both. What a great opportunity to teach a lesson on revenue streams. You got a revenue stream coming in from business. You got a revenue stream coming in at home. And if you can teach that early, man, that is great. Also, I'm thinking about another lesson here about the importance of winning well at both. Winning in the workplace and winning at home. How many people, how many adults need to hear that? That we need to make sure that we're coming in to our homes at night with the same amount of passion that we lead with in the workplace. Maybe that would be pretty incredible for our relationships at home. Now, of course, we're talking all about finances and talking about Financial Peace University. You hear me talk about that quite a bit. Of course, you heard Reverend Jim talk about that earlier on in the show. But 2016, folks, is days away. Are you sick and tired of struggling with money? I hear it in your voice. Do you get to the end of your month with more bills than money? You can make a change, and it can start not tomorrow, today. You can take control of your money with a plan that will change the way that you handle your money. Financial Peace University is that plan. It has helped 2.5 million families learn how to handle money God's way. In just 90 days, the average family saves $5,300 and pays off $2,700 in debt, an $8,000 swing in their finances in 90 days. And did you know that more than 40% of the people who coordinate a class experience the life-changing lessons for the very first time themselves? So they're going through the class and coordinating it all at the same time for the first time. It's an easy, easy, easy thing to do to coordinate a Financial Peace University class. You don't have to be a financial expert. In fact, coordinating an FPU class is one of the best things that you can do to get your own finances in order. Like the saying goes, you've heard it before, there's no better way to learn than to teach others. It's amazing how much I've learned just teaching over the microphone. You can help families in need and get your own house in order this January by coordinating a Financial Peace University class. Call us today to get started, 866-357-3283, or go to stewardship.com to learn more.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, you can email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next on the line, we have Brad calling in from Iowa. Brad, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Yes, sir. Me and my wife just finished up with the FPU, and we're well on our way of getting out of debt and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a small business owner, and all of a sudden I got into an opportunity to expand the company. Now, to get this bid and everything, I would need to go into a little bit of a debt. and that is completely opposite of what FPU has been teaching me and the wife. And now me and the wife are kind of seeing not eye to eye on this topic.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think if I go to Proverbs 22:7, it says the borrower is slave to the lender. Of course, by now, if you took Financial Peace University, you're familiar with that verse. The tail end of that verse doesn't say except for anything. It doesn't say except for at all. Now, of course, we're not talking about a salvation issue, but we're talking about wisdom. And it's not wise. And so what I would tell you to do is whatever this piece of equipment that you need or this investment that you need to take on this bid or take on this new opportunity, I would see if I could rent it. Of course, your margin's going to be lower, but you're going to sleep well at night. Your relationships are going to stay good, and you're not going to be taking on any more risk in your family or your business.
I'm running into a brick wall. It's either this or let a six-figure bid go away, and the piece of equipment is, you know, $20,000. That's where I'm sitting.
Well, how much is the equipment to rent it?
There is no place to rent around here. I've tried even going out of state, and anybody that even considers helping me out on this situation is gouging it so bad that I won't make hardly anything on it.
Mm-hmm. So your margin on this is probably what, about
60, 70?
So what you're saying is they are going to gouge you $40,000 to transport it to you?
He wants, I talked to one individual who wants $37,200 to come to work for 3 weeks.
Yeah, here's the deal. We have finite minds and we have an infinite God, and we're not always going to understand. His ways are not our ways. But I think at the end of the day, we got to ask ourselves, do we trust God or we trust Visa? And, of course. But I think in these kind of scenarios, where our back's up against the wall, and you got to ask yourself, would God present me with an opportunity where I had to go against his word? And so every opportunity isn't the opportunity. Sometimes we fall for good opportunities and we don't know there's a great opportunity in the horizon. Of course, we don't see that because we're not infinite. But if this was me in your situation, I can honestly say with integrity, I would not buy this equipment on loan. I would not go into debt for it. I'd rather have less margin. I'd rather have less top line. I'd rather have less of everything than to go into debt again.
I have to take that advice. But
I know you don't like it. I know you don't like it, but you'll like me later. When you're not paying payments. So I feel very confident about that. Hey, have you ever, listen, you're talking about small businesses and I just had the thought, I would love to give you our Entre Leadership book. Have you ever read that book?
No, sir, I have not.
All right. I want to give it to you. So, Bob and Amanda and the team are going to, as soon as we hang up, they're going to get your information. We're going to send you Entre Leadership, and it'll talk about this. It'll talk about the whole renting in certain situations and owning in certain situations, and it'll talk about all that. So enjoy the book, okay?
Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you. Our next call comes in from my old hometown, Colorado Springs. This is Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Go Broncos.
Right. I don't know if everybody in Colorado Springs or Colorado maybe does. But
oh, fun times.
It is a family thing because I get to have some time to myself when the Broncos are playing.
Yeah, there you go. How can I serve you?
Well, so I'm in a little bit of my husband and I are always talking about the stock market. And he does not believe in the stock market. And his money that is in a pension through his work, and they continually add money to that, mm-hmm. he believes the stock market is just a big, it's worthless, and it's a big scheme or something.
Mm.
But he has almost $90,000 in the stock, through his pension, and it's only in money market funds because he thinks the stock market's about to fall. Mm. And he's thought that for the last 18 months. So he always keep the money in for 18 months and then take it out for 18 months and go back and forth. And the money's not growing. Mm-hmm. And so it concerns me. We have other investments for retirement. We're about 15 to 20 years from that.
Mm-hmm.
But a third of our wealth is in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask some questions. What is your income?
About 85, 90.
Okay. Your other investments, are they long-term and diversified?
Well, yeah, but they're so diversified, we have different people running them. So there's an IRA, a Roth, and a PERA, which is the state. You know what that is?
The yeah. State. How, yeah. What's the total amount?
That one is $91,000. And then our home equity, we have about $200,000 in it.
Okay.
And we owe about $170,000 on that. And then we have about $25,000 in debt, although that's like pretty much 2% interest rate on less than on about half of it. Other than that, it's 0% interest rate because he always rolls over everything.
Okay.
It just it frustrates me because I feel like he's trying to work a system that it's going against him.
He's using thought process that is counterintuitive to what he actually is doing. So if you're not going to have faith in the stock market, why would you have faith in the banks? Like I don't get like either one. It's not in your control. Why would you? And here's the deal: a pension. You are putting all of your money into one stock. You know what that stock is? It's that company. If that company fails to exist tomorrow, he has nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed. If you diversify it and you put it, you spread it all over a bunch of mutual 250 different companies in the stock market, and the stock market, you have four or five companies go bad. Well, now it's diversified. And so, of course, the Bible talks about this, Ecclesiastes 11:2, invest in seven ventures, yes, even in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. And he's completely wrong. I mean, he has nothing, and I don't want to get you guys in a fight, but I just want to speak boldly.
I want to speak
very boldly that this is wrong. It's bad stewardship. Your concern is legit. Proverbs 21:20 is talking about in the house of the wise is choice food and oil, but that doesn't talk about hoarding. And Proverbs 13:22 talks about a good man leaving inheritance for his children's children. That is what is at stake here, because he's not going to be leaving this great inheritance. He's got a ton of opportunity cost here that he's missing. He's getting 0.17% instead of getting 8 to 12.
And you're saying because he's keeping it in a money market fund, he's trusting a simple bank versus diversifying.
Yes. Yeah, it's the exact opposite. And if you think, and I can see how you can watch the news nowadays and get frantic. Here's the deal, though. There is no historical basis that would say that the stock market's going to crash. We've had tons of acts of terror in the past. We've had tons of different capacities of leaders. We've had natural disasters. We've had lots of different things going on. And there's no historical basis. There's actually no 10-year period that's ever been a negative 10-year period in the stock market.
I know. And I watch it with other investments. And it's the trajectory is good.
Yes.
And yes, there are bumps in the road, but I'm having a hard time getting him to see that. But it's been years, and we've lost thousands of dollars with him trying to play the market, and it's been horrible. And I look back and I go, oh, how many times did I shoot myself in my foot because I agreed with that?
Yeah. Here's the deal. You need to get a third party involved. So it's him. He just knows a little bit more vernacular than you do. So you're going to lose the argument.
And I've started to meet with a counselor that you guys, you promote.
Yeah.
And so what is a person to do when their spouse has such opposite thinking?
Right. Well, I do think I've heard you say it's his money twice. And I think if there's some kind of rooted his money, your money, I think you got to get to the bottom of that because it's your money together. It's our money. It's going to take a third party voice. That's my only recommendation. And telling him the scriptures and showing him historical data.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for your time.
Well, hopefully that gives you some confirmation.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for the call.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, you know, sometimes there's, you know, in life, we got these sticky situations and we're not always on the same page, but let's leverage those conversations for more intimacy in our relationships. Let's not have those drive us apart, but actually use that conversation and that conflict to fight well and to fight with intimacy in mind and more connection and bonding. Folks, if you're interested in leading a Financial Peace University class, give us a call at 866-357-3283. Or, of course, you can visit stewardship.com for more information. If you're feeling a need to lead this class or to be in this class, I'm telling you, don't put it off anymore. The start of the new year is a perfect time. And, of course, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. keep posting those reviews on iTunes, those of you that are podcast listeners. And until next time, let's continue to manage this life and these blessings God's way for God's glory. God bless you.